Welcome to Wonders, One Hit Wonder Podcast. I am your host, Ian Zandy, a comedian out of LA. What was that, a laugh?
I was gearing myself up. I was about to go, but
no. Okay, we'll do it again. Welcome to Wonders, a One Hit Wonder Podcast. I thought that was a right out of the gates already chaos, right. And I love it. I thought that was a laugh at my name.
No, it was not. No, it was not. I know your name, sir.
Oh, that was great. This is Wonders, Wonder Podcast, and you know that because you clicked on the title of the episode. Unless you're playing like podcast roulette, randomly ended up on this, like you're channel surfing. Each episode, we have a comedian or a guest. They're not all comedians. Most of them are. They're all friends of mine, though. And they come on and they talk about their favorite one-hit wonder. What's a one-hit wonder? It's whatever they want it to be. Honestly, it could be any song. And I'd be like, okay, sure, that's a one-hit wonder. But today, this is truly a one-hit wonder. And if you ask anybody, this is probably one of the most popular ones. We have a very special guest talking about that. He's an actor, writer, sketch performer based in LA, but also a self-proclaimed authority on 90s R&B boy bands. Please welcome, you know him from pew-pew-pewing my intro.
Pew-pew-pew-pew-pew!
It doesn't flow as well when I do it.
No,
Brick
it does
Jackson.
Not.
Brick Jackson.
Yeah, pew, 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 pew.
You're pewing yourself now.
Yes. Hey, man, if no one will pew you, you pew yourself. That is one of my mottos. It's written on my wall in my bathroom every morning. I was like, pew yourself. Start your day off with a good old pew.
Are we still talking about pews?
Pew. Well, actually, the funny part about it is... Technically, it's supposed to be meow, 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 meow. But when we were starting the show, for some reason in my head, it came out as pew, 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 pew.
Yeah, it sounds like you're shooting me.
Yeah, exactly. It's more. I did more of a small laser thing, but the pew, 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 it's supposed to be. So I screwed it up, but I decided, you know, in true comedy fashion, you stick with the bit, and that's what I did. So for now on, it's pew, 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 coming from me.
That is canon, and I'm going to clip that out of this episode and make that my alarm every morning.
Oh, God, don't do that.
Thank you for being on, of course.
Appreciate you, sir. I'm excited.
Self-proclaimed authority on R&B boy band. What's an R&B boy band? What would you say?
I think I might have typed that to you wrong. I'm a self-proclaimed expert in 90s R&B and boy band. So
both. Oh, I probably read that wrong. So I see. I thought it was both. I'm like, okay. I don't know who'd be totally considered if there's that many. Boys the to number, Men, maybe? I don't know.
Well, a lot of people count Boys to Men as a boy band. I never did because to me, boy bands were always five white guys who dance, not, yep, you know, four black guys who sing. Because if that's the case, the floodgates are open to what's considered a boy band, right? So you go down the history, you know, Jackson 5 is to some people,
oh, yeah,
considered a boy band. So are the Beatles. But the Rolling Stones aren't. They're considered a rock band. So it's kind of a murky definition. So for me, I always called like Boys to Men like an R&B group. And I would always call it the Backstreet Boys a boy band. To me, there's a distinct difference.
Yeah. In my mind, those are pretty different. There's different categories. Someone should make a podcast on that if they haven't already.
I was about to say, if they haven't already, this is probably a boy band podcast. Probably 10 of them at this point. Who knows?
Oh, absolutely. But you have a podcast yourself, I think, right?
I do. And thank you for mentioning that so smoothly.
Yeah.
Great transition. My podcast is called Ethnic Kiss, the Black Sitcom Podcast Show. It is a podcast where we go, where we unpack and review old sitcom starring black cast from different eras. A lot of them are from the 90s because there was like a floodgates that just kind of opened in the 90s after the success of like Family Matters and Martin and Fresh Prince. All of a sudden, like, every network was trying to find their Fresh Prince or their additional Fresh Prince. So throughout the 90s, there are just these shows full of cast of actors who were like very well known, and the show just did not last, whether they lasted 6 episodes or, you know, 10 episodes or one season. We rarely go past shows that have lasted more than one season, but it's a fun show where we sit down and we just talk about them and talk about the episode and just talk about, sometimes we go into a little bit of history of the actors and the show and just stuff like that. We just kind of have fun with it and unpack it. My co-host is, his name is DB, and he's been a friend of mine since we were, man, we were probably 19 or so, and we've always like just freaked out about sitcoms and have random sitcom knowledge, so we decided to turn it into a podcast, and it's a lot of fun.
Hell yeah. Have you done Sister Sister yet?
So Sister Sister wouldn't fall in line, and the reason why, we're only covering podcasts that just didn't make it. So Sister Sister got into syndication, now it's on Netflix. So for example, the shows that we covered a classic Nickelodeon show called My Brother and Me, which lasted one season, so we covered that one. We recently covered Kevin Hart's original sitcom that came out in like 2003-2004, called The Big House. Most people don't even know he had a sitcom on ABC.
No.
let me do something real quick with that too. So we did the podcast and covered My Brother and Me. Not My Brother, I'm sorry, The Big House, which is Kevin Hart's show. So I'm on a new app called Clubhouse. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but it's just a voice app where people coming together, they go into these different type, quote unquote, rooms and have conversations. So I'm in the room talking to a bunch of other actors, and I mentioned The Big House sitcom. And I just talked about it just briefly, like two sentences, because I was basically saying how long Kevin Hart has been around. And the next guy chimed in. His name is Aaron. He says, "It's funny that you mentioned that, Brick. I was on that sitcom."
What? Oh, my God.
So it turns out he was the kid. He was probably the only one out of that cast that's kind of pretty much an unknown. But he played Kevin Hart's younger cousin on the sitcom. And we just happened to be in the same Clubhouse room, and I just so happened to mention Kevin Hart and The Big House, and he was like, "I was on that show." It blew my mind, dude, because we just did the episode like 2 days, like maybe a week before with Cash, and it was crazy. So, it was crazy, and because I didn't mention my podcast to him though, because I was scared, because I don't remember if we bashed him or not.
That is insane. And is like the show streaming anywhere? Like, could anyone go and watch it?
So it only lasted 6 episodes, and it's right. Every episode's on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if you wanted, the show is actually not a terrible show. It's like a reverse Fresh Prince. Essentially, Kevin Hart plays a kid who loses all of his money because his father gets thrown in jail for like a Ponzi scheme or something like that, and he has to move in with his family from Malibu to Philadelphia, and his family's like his uncle and his aunt and their kids, and they don't have money. So think about Fresh Prince and just flip it around.
Yeah, flipped. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I totally see that. And that's tight.
That was the show. So we covered that one, and that was a lot of fun to cover that one.
Nice.
Yeah, oh, man.
That's so weird by like coincidence that you ended up in the same freaking, that's life. That makes me feel human.
Right.
I don't know. Like weird coincidences like that. I love it.
Yeah. And that was a part of me who was like, "Hey, man, I have this podcast and we talked about your show." But like, again, I don't know what I said. I have to go back and listen to it to see if I said, "Man, that little kid can't act. I wonder whatever happened to him." And I could have said that, and I don't know. So I didn't even bring it up. I just dealt with the irony and moved on.
And it lives forever.
I just hope he never runs into it. I don't think he follows me on Instagram, so I think we're okay at the moment. If I get a mean message from him later on, like, "Yo, so I can't act?" Damn.
I was a kid, man. Why are you judging me so hard?
I was like 15, dude. I didn't know what I was doing.
Man, if someone like resurfaced what I was doing at 15, hell no.
Oh, my God, dude. Like, like I can be judgmental of young actors sometimes when I watch movies and TV shows, but the funny part about this, I don't think I would have done any better at like you think you would have been great, but then like the reality of it is you probably would have been. I've gone back and looked at stuff that I did when I first started acting. I'm like, man, what was I doing? I sucked.
I look at stuff I did a year ago, and I'm like, I don't know, I'm here to delete this. This podcast will probably...
No, dude. Don't beat yourself up about that one. It's funny, though. I heard you on your last podcast episode talk about, you know, fixing mic issues. And, like, my first six episodes of our podcast, my mic was all over the place. And, like, I had a mic, but it wouldn't hook up correctly. So I was using like the in-camera mic, but we record video of it, even though we don't really show video, we just edit it for promos. And I had the mic, but I have the mic in front of me. It's not even on, but I'm talking and it's just like, but you're getting nothing but like the mic from my laptop and it sounds horrendous. I'm like, no one's going to listen to this shit for the first six episodes.
No, that's why you make more episodes and bury it.
Right. It's eventually episode 20. They're not even going to remember the first couple. So it's all good.
But thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for listening. But yeah, man, it's cool. Podcast world is cool, man. It's a very interesting thing. I love what it's evolved into, and it's a lot of fun. And this podcast in particular, I was really excited about when you posted on Facebook that you were considering it. I was like, yo, you got to do this, because there's so many. This can go on for years.
Oh no, there's so many, and you picked the perfect one. It's I don't know. I don't think anybody hates this song. And that song, of course, with my smooth ass transition, is Return of the Mac. Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison.
Yes, yes. Once again. Oh my God. I will say this much.
Was that your Mark Morrison?
That was my Mark Morrison. Once again.
Honestly, the little asides are like my favorite part of the song.
Oh my gosh. You know, and it's so I got a confession though. Yeah. I was today years old before I learned that his name wasn't Mac Morrison.
What is Mac short for? Macklin?
I don't know. But because the song was called Return of the Mac, and I remember his name being Mark something Morrison with an M. I spent the last 20 plus years believing that this man's name was Mac Morrison. And if you type in Google Return of the Mac Morrison, it comes up regardless. So I never second guessed myself.
It sounds like the LimeWire or LiveWire. I forgot.
It was LimeWire. LimeWire, yeah. I had so many misspelled song titles.
Exactly. So I feel like if you typed in Mac Morrison, this would have come up.
It doesn't make any sense to me, though. Why didn't you call yourself Mac Morrison? Your hit was Mac, Return of the Mac. Mac Morrison, your name is Mark. Just flip it. Mac. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, sorry, I'll get angry. I can't keep that.
No, if it was like a drastically different name and he's like a character, I get it would be like, hey, Return of the Brick. It would be like, oh, hell yeah. Actually, that kind of fits.
I actually like it. I actually like it.
I actually like that.
I have the remix set up already. Thank you, Ian.
But it doesn't work for my Return of the Ian. No, it's
no.
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 It's fumbly.
Crazy. Yeah, the song is a classic, man, and it's just got revamped for some commercials for I think it's I forgot what the commercial chain that's using Return of the Mac right now, but it's back. I think it's like Uber Eats or Postmates or something like that is using Return of the Mac. So I mean, I watch a lot of TV, so I hear this song constantly. And I know you said that no one hates this song. I don't hate this song, but I will say this: I think this is one of the worst number one hits of all time. Well, worst hits. I won't say it was a number one here in the U.S., but it's one of the worst hits of all time.
Why do you say that?
It's just a shitty song. I can't describe it. Like, okay, first I will say this: when I heard this song as a kid, because I do remember when this song came out, it was a song that played a lot during the summertime too, because it came out like right before the summer hit. So I was growing up in Dallas, Texas at the time. So, you know, of course you're outside, you're playing music from people's, you know, boom boxes. I don't know if you remember those, Ian, those big boom boxes.
Yeah, from Say Anything.
Yeah. Boom boxes or their car. And just, it was a song like just blasted through the summer, right? And I remember when it came out, and I honestly thought it was a song from the 70s. Now, of course, it used a sample, but I thought it was an older song. I didn't know that it was a song that came, it wasn't a couple till a couple of years later that I was like, wait, that song is new? Like, I thought everybody was playing a song from like the 70s funk because it was kind of a funky song. But yeah. I think what kills me about it is just his voice. His voice, he just has the weirdest frog slash. I have a friend that I talked to about this song, and she quoted it perfectly to me. She was like, because we actually, I started listening to more songs on the album, the Return of the Mac album. And mm-hmm. I was like, I just want to hear what else this guy has to offer. And so she started doing the same thing. And she said that I wish I would have had this. Okay, she says, it's like nasally, but throaty, but also smooth. It makes no sense.
So he sounds like this on the whole album?
His album is random and weird. Like, so there was one song he's singing all smooth and like, you know, really like laying it on thick with the lady. And then the next song is like, it is. It was a journey. That whole album was a journey. And they have a song on there. This dude also is very disgusting. He has a song on there called Moan and Groan. And
that's pretty on the nose.
And it is disturbing. I mean, and he has a song on there called Crazy, which was actually about 2 minutes in, I found myself kind of toe tapping and swaying a little bit. It took a second, but I was kind of into it. But yeah, his whole album, his voice is off and on like that the entire album. It's the weirdest thing, man. He's also got a song on the album called Horny.
His song
is just called Horny. Get high with me.
He's not good with song titles, or really good. I can't decide.
I don't know either. That's the anomaly of Mark Mac Morrison, because you just Get High With Me as a track. Trippin', no G. But I love how Horny is followed by I Really Love You.
In that order.
Horny, radio edit, then followed by I Really Love You. I mean, the song, he is, it's just the weirdest, to me it's the weird, and then every time I hear the song now, it's just corny. And I know when it came out, it was kind of like everybody was kind of bopping to it a little bit, even though I thought it was from the 70s, everybody was enjoying it. But how it just feels like a really, it's kind of like, look, I'm not a big fan of the Beatles, right? But I didn't really start listening to the Beatles probably until I was an adult, just kind of hearing their catalog a little bit more, not realizing that I pretty much knew most of their songs because they had been in commercials and movies and stuff like that. It's almost like when you hear a song out of context of the album, it starts to sound just, when you hear it in like TV shows and movies and commercials, it just sounds weirder to you, right?
Yeah. So I have this, but with something, this is kind of totally different, but the same concept, like the Simpsons parodies, so many movies and everything. By the time you actually see The Godfather, you've seen The Godfather, but from just it being parodied on everything else, you know?
Right.
And you're like, oh, well, this isn't as good because I already know what happens.
You know, the same thing happened to me with Napoleon Dynamite. Everyone was doing impressions for like 2 months leading up to me seeing the actual movie. When I saw the movie, I was completely unmoved because I knew all the quotes already. And it was like not funny to me. To this day, Napoleon Dynamite is not a funny movie to me, simply because everywhere I went, it was vote for Pedro. They were quoting the movie. Like, it was probably a good movie. It was probably funny and very quotable, but I got exhausted with it before I even laid eyes on it. And it's kind of, what's that Beatles song? Doesn't they do a song called Changes? Gonna
face the changes. That's David Bowie.
Same difference. So basically, like, I've heard that song in movies and commercials and stuff like that. And like now, like, I actually heard it like on the radio. I was waiting for the guy to come in at the end to be like, Toyota is blah, blah, blah. Like, it was, but it was an actual song. Drove me nuts, bruh. I'm like, well, I don't like this song anymore. And I thought it could have been a good song. It could have been a good song, but they've been, but Return of the Mac to me is that at this point. To me, Return of the Mac is essentially just this song that is just, I make fun of at this point. I actually wrote a sketch where a family is quarantined and one of their family members happens to be, and I called him in the script, Mac Morrison. I got to go back and change
that. Wait, let's pause real quick. Did you write this pre-pandemic or during?
During the pandemic.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. What, you wrote sketches about being quarantined? Sorry, continue.
No, I wrote it during the pandemic because it was one of them bored moments, right? And so I wrote the whole sketch. Just, the concept is like this family is all staying together in a house, like to just for the holidays, and they're quarantining together. But it's like kind of like a documentary type, you know, office type feel to it. But they are talking about how weird it is to live with Mac Morrison, and he only speaks in his ad libs. So but after discovering today that his name is Mark Morrison, I have to go back and rewrite the sketch.
Honestly, it's almost even funnier.
I don't know
that he does everything. And so, if the viewer was watching it, they're like, "Why the fuck do they keep calling him Mac Morrison?"
The only thing I think I might do with that, it's so crazy that you reveal your art on a podcast. I don't give a damn. if you steal it, we got evidence that I said it first. Timestamp 8:28 p.m. Pacific time, 1/12/2021. Brick Jackson talking to EMs on this podcast. So I think I'm going to end the sketch now with them telling one of the family that his name is Mark the whole time, but the family's been calling him Max. I don't know. I'll figure something out. But I think it's just he's just and honestly, I don't know. You know, you're the moderator of this thing. I don't know when we're going to talk about the actual artist, but he's even weirder than the song. So
his personal life is wild. Let me talk about the wiki intro, and then we talk about it a little bit more, and then we'll go into his weird personal antics. He's a freaking weird guy. Return of the Mac is a song written and recorded by the British, which I did not realize he's British. We'll get into that later. R&B singer Mark Morrison, not Mac, with backing vocals from Angie Brown. It topped the UK singles chart a month after release, then became a European and Australian hit during the middle of the year. In the United States, it reached number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 and went platinum. The song's beat is sampled from the song Genius of Love by American band Tom Tom Club Games by Chucky Booker. Yes, was also sampled, as well as fragments from UFO by ESG, Cerrone's Rocket in the Pocket, and Feel the Heartbeat by The Treacherous Tree.
It's like nine different samples.
I don't know if there's anything original in here.
I mean, how much money do they have to pay?
Every time.
He didn't make any money from this.
Which explains so much.
I know, it does explain his history, but I'll let you continue.
That's all I got for the intro. And we talked about like your connection of it and your memories a little bit. What do you think it means?
I mean, and that's another thing about this song that's disturbing. The whole song is just about him saying, you know what? I'm done respecting women because you hurt my heart, and now I'm going to go out and play the hearts of every woman I can. I am coming. Now the Return of the Mac is here. Like, that's what the song is about. We are celebrating the hell out of this song.
I don't think most people know what the lyrics are besides Return of the Mac and Oh My God.
Oh My God. I'm the world. Well, that's like, again, that's the weird part about like what we like. So I feel this way with songs all the time. I don't always go deep dive into the meaning, but you know, I'm a lyrics guy. I like to know what the song is about.
No, I'm not.
I mean, I am, there's songs that I've sung as a kid that I'm like, what the hell? But I remember watching this video, and this is when Sam Smith Stay With Me was like a big hit. Right. And of course, Sam Smith Stay With Me is about a guy who has a sexual relationship with another person, and they want them to stay instead of leave. I know what this is. you know, I know this is just a one night stand, but I really just want you to stay with me because I need someone. And it's a pretty adult song. You know, anybody who's been single probably has gone through that, where it's like, you know, you really want a real connection, not just a sexual one. And I'm watching some news clip where Sam Smith visits a school and the kids are singing it, and I'm like, what the hell? These kids are, did no adult in the room know what this song is about? And then he walks into this room and these kids are singing, stay with me. I'm like, does any of you 8-year-olds know that what a one night stand is to begin with? And if you do, we have to talk. Secondly, no adult, I'm looking at the teachers and the cameramen and the reporters, like, does no one in this room want to say, hey, kids, stop singing about a one night stand with
That is wild. I've never, that's like if Kids Bop did this song.
Yes.
I hope they did.
I really hope they did too. Kids Bop, they go to some great lengths. I mean, they be hitting some songs that I just don't. And if there isn't a Kids Bop version, I think I will hire some children's to
on Fiverr.
Yeah, I'm a Fiverr some children, or just teach it to my nephew. My nephew's 4. I can teach him the song.
Oh, okay, that's much better.
Yeah, leave it in the family. I wonder if they would change the song like "Return of the Mac" to like "Return of like Mac and Cheese." That would be the theme of the song. Like, mama comes home with some, you know, mac and cheese, you know? Maybe.
Oh, yeah. You it's know? Like a Weird Al parody.
Yeah. Why not?
For kids.
Yeah,
you
why
know,
not?
We need a Weird Al for kids.
Oh, my heavenly.
I guess Weird Al is for kids, kind of, too.
Oh, my heavenly God. I just typed in Kids Bop, Return of the Mac, and they did.
Does it exist?
It does exist.
Probably get copyright if I try and play it.
Yeah,
but,
don't play it. God. But listen to it. No. I encourage you.
I'll link it in the comments.
Good.
When I post.
Good.
I'm so happy. That did not come up when I researched this. I am so glad it exists.
It did not come up for me either, but apparently somebody dropped it on YouTube. Wow.
They're trying to hide it.
Wow. I can't believe that's actually real. It is real because now you can actually buy it on Amazon, the song, for $1.29.
Kids. I have not bought a song in forever.
Oh God, I haven't. I think I bought one like 4 years ago, but it was to get like, it was like a theme song for like a parody of something I was doing. I was doing an instrumental of something. I think it was like Perfect Strangers theme song, so I can do a parody or something. But that's the last time I've ever bought a song. It's never gonna happen again, probably.
No, Spotify spoiled me.
For real. Yeah, Spotify, man, it's great. I actually use Spotify. I know a lot of people that's like, they use like, you know, Pandora stuff. I say, I'm a control freak. I have all of these playlists. I have to know what's going to, I have to know. Like, I don't want to play the Tupac channel and then somehow Toxic by Britney Spears plays. That pisses me off. There's always, they do that. They do that on Pandora where like you're listening to a certain station and you'll hear like, so I'll put in like, you know, the Tupac station, right? And I'll hear Tupac, then I hear Naughty by Nature, Biggie, another Tupac song. Then about 10 songs into it, it starts to go a little bit left. Like, you know, to start playing some TLC, which is not too far off the beaten path, but let's go back into the gangster rap like I asked. And then like 3 songs later, it all of a sudden, with the taste of your lips, I'm on a run. Like, no, I didn't ask for Britney Spears.
That was pretty good, too.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, I do like the song. I just don't like the fact that it's on.
In Tupac radio.
Yeah, like, if I'm listening to gangster rap, there's a mood that I am in. And that's there's a reason for me to listen. Look, I'm not gangster. All right, I grew up hood adjacent. I didn't grow up in the hood, so you know I don't have that in me. I'm not a thug. I'm not from the streets. I don't live the thug life. But sometimes you just need a little gangster rap in your life to get you geared up for something. I don't want Britney Spears to F with my rhythm, and I just don't appreciate it. So Pandora, yeah, Pandora, you are out of here, and I am focusing solely on Spotify. I appreciate Spotify. I know what's gonna play when I got my gangster rap list.
You know what's gonna happen now, right?
Don't do it. Don't do it, Ian. If you say it out loud, it'll happen. Don't manifest
it. It's gonna happen 2 days from now. You're gonna meet someone that works for Pandora. They're gonna go back and find this episode.
I'm gonna say this in a like at the mall or something like that. So I was like, well, you know, I work for Pandora. Like, oh damn.
The jewelry store. I see what you did there.
I see what you did. Actually, I didn't do that on purpose, but I'll take it. I will take credit for it, sir.
It is a jewelry store, right?
Yeah, there is a Pandora.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. You're not wrong.
Oh.
You're not wrong.
Okay.
I love that one of the subject matters, though, is other songs by artists, and we found Kidz Bop. I can't believe
it. I don't think Kidz Bop has come up at all, but they must have covered, like, a good amount of one-hit wonders, I'd imagine.
I mean, Kidz Bop at this point has been around for forever. I imagine they've covered every one.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much every one of your songs that you're covering on this podcast has probably been covered by Kidz Bop.
Oh, yeah. All-Star, I can imagine. How Bizarre. Yeah, yeah. I guarantee all of those have been covered.
Oh, man, All-Star. You know, I actually have a beef with you, Ian. I have to say, I want to do this here and not on social media or in a private chat, which is where it should be. I have a beef with you.
All right.
What world is Smash Mouth a one-hit wonder?
Well, they have All-Star, and then they have, like, Walking on the Sun, but it's not as popular. Plus, I'd pick it.
That episode. I don't
I'm blame it on them.
But I'm angry at them.
Was it John Hess? I think that was John Hess's episode. So blame him. No.
Well, no, I'm blaming John Hess, but I got to blame you too because it was your podcast. Like, I'm not a Smash Mouth advocate. Let me just make that clear. I'm not a huge fan of them. But I mean, I want to give credit where credit is due, and credit is due to Smash Mouth having what I would consider multiple hits. And like, it's funny, when I saw the episode pop up, I'm like, I turned my head like a dog trying to hear a human speak. I'm like, wait, Smash Mouth's not a one-hit wonder. I was like, I'm an All-Star, Walking on the Sun. And I'm like, I know on one of my old playlists, I have at least 5 Smash Mouth songs, I'm not ashamed to say. I was like, so what? And then I had to go look it up. And then I looked up and I remember, I think it was Then the Morning Comes, bing, 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 bing. Remember that one, Ian?
No, but people keep reminding me of it. I never heard it.
I mean, even I'm a Believer, even though it's not theirs, was a good song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Monkees cover, yeah.
So I'm going to need you and John Hess to do a retraction episode of this podcast. Because you will not besmirch the name of Smash Mouth in my presence.
Oh, no, they're doing that themselves, trust me. They're doing a great job.
Look, I am separating the artist from the music in this case. I have to defend the group that hasn't had a hit in 20 years. I have to defend them.
Wouldn't it be wild? That would be a great bingo card for 2021 if Smash Mouth randomly came out with another hit single. Or Mac Morrison.
I would love for it. You know, I've always thought about that. You don't really get to see comeback stories much in music. Like, when people are gone, they're just gone. Like, I would love for a person, like, 25 years later to all of a sudden have, like, a big hit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Especially a one-hit wonder. Like, where's Right Said Fred? I'm Too Sexy. Where is I'm Too Sexy? Where is there?
Ooh, that would be a great episode too.
You know, or Rico Suave. You know, where let him come back. Like, there's no reason why radio should not be age discriminate. I don't understand why it is. You know what I mean? Like,
but you know what? If he did have another one hit wonder, Mark Morrison, that means this episode we would have to take down.
Well, no, because we did it before he came out with Return of the Mac. That's gonna be once again. It's literally going to be the same beat
that he stole from everyone else.
That he stole from everyone else. And then the lyrics are going to be basically, Return of the Mac.
He's just looping his own voice.
Back again. Tough of the world. Here I am.
Sounds like a Lonely Island song now.
It really does. Now that you think about it, man, it's crazy. I'm serious, I hope that there's someone who is third degree separation from Mac Morrison. I'm going to keep calling him Mac.
Yeah, just keep calling him that.
Mac Morrison, and I want them to send him the link to this podcast. And he after he gets off of work at Lowe's, I want him to listen to this podcast. And I want him to hear us plea that he comes back. We want to see him. Now, honestly, he's probably not working at Lowe's because this song is still, like, like the commercials alone is probably giving him more bank. But
oh, absolutely.
So maybe not Lowe's. Maybe he's working at an enterprise rent a car. So I would love for Mark MacMorrison to come back. We need you, MacMorrison. You hear me, MacMorris? I'm speaking directly to him now. I don't know if he caught that in. We need you. He's only 48, I believe. It's not over, bro. We need you. Come on back.
Wow. Wait, he's 48? This came out in like, what did I say, 96?
Yeah, that's the crazy part. I thought he was like 40 back then.
Yeah, I was going to say, he... So wait, it's been 30? Wait, no, it hasn't been 30 years yet. 25?
26?
Yeah, so yeah. He was like 19, 20 when this... Wow.
It's crazy. Because if you watch the video, he looks 45. And I'm like...
Yes.
He's lived a rough first 20 years of life. Poor Max Morrison. He's had it rough. He looks 40.
We'll get into more of that in a second.
Yeah. He looks and sounds 45.
How do you think 45-year-olds sound?
When I say he sounds like a 45-year-old, you know, back if in like 96, somebody who's 45 would have been a singer in the 70s. So that's what he sounds like.
That tracks.
He might have had the Morgan Freeman syndrome where like Morgan Freeman hit 30 and just didn't age. Morgan Freeman looked 50 at 30 and just didn't age.
Okay, I was gonna say he's always kind of looked.
Yeah, he's always. I remember seeing like clips of him on like the, what was that kid show that he was on, Electric Company, and like.
Wait, Morgan Freeman was on Electric Company?
Yes, he was. Him and
what?
I know it's sacrilege to say, but it was him, Bill Cosby, and Rita Moreno, in the first season.
Wow.
Wow. He worked with Bill Cosby for like the first year of Electric Companies. When I heard that fact, I was like, wait, that's weird, because I watched something where Morgan Freeman was like giving like a tribute or talking about Bill Cosby. And I'm like, what connection do they have? And then I watched a clip and it was like, oh, snap. They were on Electric Company back in like the mid 70s. And then also Rita Moreno. Same.
That is wild.
On a kid's show.
Yeah. I want to go back and find that.
Yeah. And
I'm sure it's on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, of course it's on YouTube. Yeah, he played a Morgan Freeman clip. I saw that because I started doing the rabbit hole YouTube thing, and Morgan Freeman was he played the count a couple times where he was like a counter, but he was like, I believe he was in a bathtub at one point. I don't remember if I might be wrong. I don't know what I'm thinking about at this point, but I don't know. But he
Morgan
looked
Freeman in a bathtub.
Morgan Freeman in a bathtub. But even then in the 70s, he looked like I think he probably was actually 40 something, but he looked like he was 50-something. He didn't age at least until the mid-90s. So, actually, more like the 2000s. He finally looks like an old man. Like, like that matches his age, old man. But yeah, but that was one thing I thought about when I saw MacMorrison. I was like, and I saw his age, and I was like, I could have sworn MacMorrison was in his 60s at this point. So I was shocked to find that he was only 48. So, Mac, if you're listening, which I know you are, because I just have faith that someone is going to send this to you. Someone knows you, bro. I have faith, and we want you back. Get in the studio right now, and call the album. Call the album, Ian. This is for you. Thanks for everything, Julie Newmar. That's the name of the album.
He's always great with titles. He's consistent.
Come on, Mac Morrison. Oh man, God.
Before we head into break, if you could describe the song in three words, what would those three words be?
What the fuck?
Oh, that has not happened yet. I love it.
I was hoping that when I threw it as soon as you asked that question, I was like, I really hope no one else has said that. But that
No. And you said it so quickly. hesitation.
None. But I think this is going to have to be a common thread throughout the rest of this podcast. I have to say this. So I read something online where they did a review of Return of the Mac, and someone compared him to Seal.
Oh.
But they call him Funky Seal. So from here on out, to me, Mac Morrison is a funky Seal.
I can see him being compared to Seal.
I thought that was a great comparison, funky Seal. Like, if you,
I wouldn't have come up with it on my own, but like it makes sense. It checks out.
Yeah, I feel like if someone asks you, What is Mac Morrison? How would you describe his music? He's kind of like a funky seal.
Like, sounds like an animal.
It feels right. It feels like a funky seal. That's what he is. And so Mac Funky Seal Morrison.
That's going in the episode description. And on that note, we'll go to break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the weird ass music.
Okay, let's do it.
And welcome back to Wonders, a one-hit wonder podcast.
Once again.
I was expecting the pew pew pews, and I got that inside. I will. It's unpredictable.
I had to channel Funky Seal, man.
Funky Seal. We're still as loopy as ever at 9 p.m. on a Tuesday night. Yes.
It's a Tuesday night, yes.
Tuesday night.
I'm dying. This whole podcast is literally just gonna be us laughing at each other.
It's 90% of this podcast. Oh my god, just laughing, dude, and ripping my pop filter.
Oh my god, I gotta admit, I miss you, bro. We have not been on stage together in a while, dude.
Yeah. Oh, for the listener, yeah, we were in
Duck Boy.
Duck Boy. Well, the thing is that the group, we keep changing everyone's nickname in it. So I don't know who's who, and I forgot the name of the group.
Oh my god! But gosh. Yes,
we were in a sketch group, Duck Boy, together, and other things. But yeah, I miss the stage.
I miss the stage so much, bro. But anyway, I don't want to get depressed.
So let's talk about this very uplifting music video.
Oh my gosh!
First of all, it opens on like a shot of a castle.
For no reason.
And then I realized, oh wait, this is just London. It looks like fucking Hogwarts. And then it shows him driving in a car, and he's driving on the right side of the wheel. So I'm like, oh okay, yeah, it's definitely London. What do you think about
That wasn't your indication that he was from London by watching the video. You said you didn't know he was from London, and he showed you that in the beginning of the video.
I don't know. It didn't click until like after, like the.
what was weird to me though was like it's like a castle in London, but he's not there. He's at the airport, and then he's in like a warehouse. I don't really know what's like. Where is he going? Like, I don't know. It's weird to me.
He's returning.
He's returning, but like to what? Like he lives in a warehouse. Like, I don't know. Continue your analysis, sir.
Oh no, there isn't much analysis. It's just wild. And the leather jackets, and they've got like these Matrix sunglasses.
I love it. I love it. Like, you know what's funny? It has like so many like 1990s like R&B cliches. Like it's raining at one point, and you got the extreme close up, and then you got him creepily watching his girlfriend from a distance with another dude, and then he's got an entourage that has no actual. I think the entourage is, here's the funny part about his entourage in this music video, it's him, like they it's him twice.
That goes along with I read somewhere that all the people at like his entourage besides himself just his friends, like the director's friends.
Yeah, just hey, what are you guys doing on Tuesday? Nothing, just chilling. Can you come down to Birmingham and be in this warehouse video for my friend Mac Morrison?
He gets the name wrong too.
The director doesn't even know his name to this day. I want to have an interview with the director of this video and just keep saying Mac Morrison over and over and over again and see if he ever corrects me. I don't think he would.
I don't think Mark Morrison would correct you.
Never.
I'm sure he gets that a lot.
I mean, I really hope that your listeners come back and be like, you know what, Brick? Us too. I don't want to feel dumb. Also, I wanted to point out the awesomeness of his Gumby haircut. That's called, I don't know if you know that haircut from the 90s. It's called the Gumby. And it was popularized by none other than Bobby Brown, who was getting a haircut once and then a haircut. So back then in the 90s, they had, in late 80s, they had high top fades. So it was like the box. It's just, and that was most popular for someone like Kid from Kid and Play, right? He had the box haircut. So it's just one, it's just a square. And apparently Bobby Brown was getting a haircut before one of his shows and somebody messed up. And he said, you know what, why don't we do this? And then the way they cut it, and they call it the Gumby because it kind of looks like Gumby. So Mark Mac Morrison is actually sporting the Gumby in this music video. And it is beautiful. He's bald in other things I've seen, other pictures I've seen him in. So this is the only time I think I've seen him. He's probably sported the Gumby.
Yeah, I Googled Mark Morrison haircut and got mostly him bald and then a lot of pictures of Jim Morrison. And then I Googled Mark Morrison Gumby and got a bunch of pictures of Gumby.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, the Gumby was a cool, it was a cool haircut that I think you can only really do if you are an R&B singer. I don't know if you would ever walk into like a Walmart and the cashier has a Gumby. It's just not normal.
It's kind of slanted, right?
Right. Yeah. It's just a, it's, yeah, kind of yeah. A, it's just a slant. It's a,
yeah.
Yeah. It's like your hair is a slope, like a mountain slope from Big Bear. It's just, you know, sliding on down. But like, it's, it, this is the most 90s cliche music video. And I love it. I'll watch it on mute because I love the video itself. Like, it's a cool video.
And he, oh, yeah.
He looks cool in it.
No, it definitely emulates cool vibes. I think the video overall does hold up. Funny fact about, like, him driving in the car. He doesn't know how to drive. He doesn't have a license even.
Really?
That's him actually driving in a car. I guess he was, like, swerving all over the road. Like, almost killing people.
I wonder if anyone pointed out in the video that it was illegal for him to drive. I wonder if they just let it happen or did somebody say
or if he's just, oh, yeah, I know how to drive.
I just want to know what the concept is in this music video of having him twice. Because they do it a couple times. They have him singing in the middle and two versions of him on the side. And then at one point, they both disappear as he's walking. He does.
I did not catch that. I'm gonna have to go back and.
He does a kick at the camera at one point, and then his two versions of him literally fade away out of the shot. And then later on, when he's sitting at his desk at this warehouse party thing, where apparently his girl and her new guy is there, and there's another guy looking at his desk at one point when he's singing to her, two of him show up on either side singing next to the desk. And I don't know. Maybe it's because of the ad-lib thing that we talked about. Maybe he was trying to pretend like it was, like, multiple
people. His own backup singer.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I felt like he wanted to be in an R&B group, but everybody quit. And he was like, yo, I'm just going to be my own group. Bump them turkeys. And this is just how I think he talks. Bump them turkeys. But it's a great – it's actually a good video. I actually – it does. It's not much to it. There's no legitimate storyline. Except for the fact that he's just noticing that his girl is... But you know what's funny about this music video too, Ian, is that he's returning as a Mac, but yet he doesn't spend much time with any girl but his ex.
That's true. For being a song about how he's going to go get him, he's spending a lot of time pining for the past.
Yes. So this song is actually about heartbreak in a way that we're like, you know, there's this whole thought process that when a guy breaks up with a girl, for example, guys are like so hyped and they're so happy. And then the women, you know, the girls are miserable and they're sad and they're missing their boyfriend. And then after a couple months, the guy gets bored and realizes what he has and tries to go back to the girl. And by that time, the girl has moved on and living the happy life. So we're never on the same page. And maybe he just kind of, in a weird way, kind of skipped all that and just went straight into the heartbreak. But he wants to pretend like he's still a Mac. So he's convincing himself. He kicks the camera twice, by the way. I don't know if you noticed that in the video. He literally does two kick moves at the camera. You have to go back and watch it. But anyway.
In my mind, he broke. he full-on drop kicked two cameramen.
That's like the only dance move he does in this entire thing. Kicking at the camera twice. Oh my god, he's an interesting dude, man. Like I would be scared to sit down with him because of, you know, his history, but I would love to, like, via Zoom just have an interview with him. I wonder if I can arrange that.
Yeah, I know he's gone to jail a couple times and whatnot, but his life is just so wild. He, like, converted religions a few times, it looked like. Just a wild history. And he's from UK, which I did not expect. I think he was born in Germany, mm-hmm. I read.
Yeah, he was born, I think his parents were from, lived in Germany, but then they moved. But then he also moved to the United States. And then moved back to the UK. So most people come to America and just stick it out. But he was like, I'm going back and I'm going to commit crimes. Like regularly. like year after year, I'm going to do something criminal.
No, most of his Wikipedia page is that.
There's not much information about him. I mean, with the exception of them talking about Return of the Mac and who sampled it. But outside of that, they're literally just talking about his legal issues.
And oh, wait. You were going to tell me how he became a singer.
Yes. Yeah, so I read that he was in, big shocker, prison. And he had no, like, desire to become a singer. I guess he was just living the life of a vagabond. And so in prison, he somehow took up singing. So as soon as he got out of jail, he hit the studio. And then we were christened with Return of the Mac. So thankfully, he went to prison. And otherwise, we wouldn't have this podcast right now. I wouldn't even be a guest, probably. I wouldn't have anything to talk about.
No other song.
There's no other song that speaks to me the way that Return of the Mac.
That's wild. I wonder if someone, like, taught him how to sing, or if he was just singing to himself in prison, or
I don't know a lot about prison because I've never been.
Oh, me neither.
But I hear that you have a lot of time on your hands. Like, if prison wasn't so bad, like, I would probably try to use it as, like, a vacation. But you know what? I need no distractions. I need to just be shut up in a cell for a couple months just so I can get my mind together and focus, because, you know, Tupac wrote music in prison, you know.
Like quarantine?
People write books that kind of like quarantine. But see, in quarantine, though, I can still go out as long as I got my mask. You know what I mean?
Yeah, fair.
You know, I can still go to the mailbox. You know, in prison, you just, you know, you got 23 hours in this cell to come up with whatever. Like, imagine, dude, I could have the next Oscar winning movie if I, that's it, I'm going to prison. That's it. I don't know what I got to do. I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's like an Always Sunny episode, going to jail on purpose just so you can be the next Mozart or something.
I just need a break and I want to focus on my creativity, so prison it is. No distractions.
And then the whole episode would be them trying to go to jail and nobody will arrest them.
That's actually a hilarious Sunny episode.
I bet you they made that. They must have.
They're like 19 years into that show. Can you believe It's Always Sunny's been on this long?
I love it's a great show. I haven't watched most of it, but, like, they must be banging their heads on the wall at some point, being like, no, we already did that. We already did that.
How did they I don't know. They keep signing up for, like, two more years here and then two more years. Like, they keep signing up for more. So, I mean, I haven't seen an In Sunny, Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode probably since season 7. But it's kind of like The Simpsons, though, when you think about it. Like, because there's so many episodes, you can kind of just go back whenever you want to. You don't really need to watch any type of – like, I can pull up a Simpsons episode from, like, season 3 and just watch it. I don't know. For me, because it's been on for 30 years. So it's kind of like, you know, I've probably still seen 100 episodes of The Simpsons completely, easily. But it's like 8,000 episodes of The Simpsons. So – I don't know. It's weird. I think it's weird. I think it's interesting at the same time. I don't know how a sitcom keeps going. I'm actually now intrigued to watch it because I'm like, I want to find out how they go for 14 years, because some shows die after like 3 years. They can't come up with anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Like The Big House. Well, not that big. Not that they couldn't come up with anything, but.
Yeah. But I mean, we've seen it before, right? You watch a show and then all of a sudden, like, season 3 rolls around and you're like, wow, you can tell they have no more ideas.
Like, yep, it was
like Prison Break. Once they're out of prison, then what the fuck is, what's next? The show should have took 5 years to get them out of prison, but they did it in one season, and now season two was like, why am I watching a show about a prison break when everybody's out of prison? But speaking of prison, that brings me back to Mac Morrison.
Great transition.
Thank you. Like, this dude has like an array of arrests, and it's not like he does one thing. Like, he does multiple stupid things to get in prison. So it's not like he's just like, oh man, he just keeps assaulting someone, or oh man, he's drugs. No, it's like, there's a firearm here and a firearm there, and then there's a assault here, and then a possession charge of some sort of kidnapping and car theft on one end. It's like, bro, like, I mean, I appreciate your variety, but damn, like, why is it so difficult for you to stay out of trouble? Like, you actually have a talent.
He's a Renaissance man of crime.
I mean, I there's a part of me that just appreciates it, that appreciates that he's just not a one, he's a one hit wonder in music, but not crime. And I appreciate it.
I want a one hit wonder podcast about crime.
I did it.
People who just keep doing the same crime.
Oh my gosh. Look, man, I only assault. It's like, no, what?
I specialize
in assault. And that's
I'm really it. Popular in that community. And oh, tried to do it again, never again.
But I think his most comical conviction of any sort was when he paid a lookalike to do his court-appointed community service.
I did not catch that. That's
so the story is basically he got a year in prison because he paid someone to do his community service while he was out on tour.
That's kind of, I kind of respect that.
I do. Oh my gosh. And then that's that. I just, the fact, that's why I think he might be the most interesting person. Maybe not the most interesting song. He'll probably cover better songs. Because probably when you get to the New Radicals, that'll probably be the best song you cover. I think that's the best. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
That is the best one hit wonder. Maybe the Bittersweet Symphony is also a great one, too.
Mm-hmm.
But like, he might be the most interesting person you cover. Because he's ridiculous, man.
Yep.
But I got to meet him. It's one of my goals now. Him?
I'm going to tweet at him this episode. And
please.
See.
I want to meet him and the Dalai Lama. It's down to those two.
What a great list.
That's going to be my Make-A-Wish Foundation wish.
That's exactly where my mind was going.
Who do you want to meet? I want to meet the Dalai Lama.
Well, we can't do that. Who else you got?
Mac Morrison. You want to meet Mac Morrison? Oh, yeah, let me go get him. He works downstairs in the cafeteria.
Gotcha.
I'm sorry. We're never going to get Mac talking shit about him. I'm sorry, Mac.
Never, ever.
If
this song was made today, who do you think would make?
Ooh. Damn, that's a good question. I would probably have to see. I could see the Jonas Brothers doing a weird version of the song. I don't know why the Jonas Brothers stood up.
I can't imagine it, but okay.
Okay.
I was thinking like, okay, maybe like a Frank Ocean.
Okay, but, okay.
Okay, yeah. But I can see Jonas Brothers doing for like a commercial.
Yeah.
Or they used to put out like Disney CDs like that where they just cover songs.
Maybe they can do something for Kraft Mac and Cheese. Kraft Mac and Cheese is making a comeback. Return of the Mac. With the Jonas Brothers.
Covering a Mac Morrison song.
That reminds me, man. I gotta ask you this. This is probably something that's a little bit off. Do you consider, and I don't, I'm thinking Three Brothers, do you consider Hanson a one-hit wonder?
Yeah, they were covered too.
Y'all did cover Umbop. I think I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was like the second episode, I think. They do have some other popular songs, but they're like more popular to Hanson fans, you know? Right. So, like, if you ask a random Joe, if you ask me, what's a Hanson song? I would only say Umbop, and I wouldn't know any of their other songs.
Yeah, I'm kind of stuck at Umbop. I don't really go past Umbop at this point. But you're right. You're right. I had to think about it for a second because I know they've had other hits, but I know they haven't been like hits. You know?
Exactly.
But still,
I feel like they have a popular Christmas song, maybe. But yeah, it's just Umbop, really.
But still though, Smash Mouth, you guys were just wrong on that. John Hess, if you're listening to this, and send this to John Hess and Mac Morrison together in one tweet. John Hess, if you're listening to this, you should be a damn shame to yourself, sir. I don't even know John Hess. I think he sounds familiar. I feel like I've seen his work. But you lost a fan.
I think on every single episode, someone has declared beef with someone else.
I wonder who's going to declare beef with me. Bring it on. Maybe John Hess and I just have
John is going to declare beef back with you.
Watch me and John Hess going to have a lifelong beef. It's going to be a YouTube video made.
Never meet each other. Just
the history of our beef.
That sounds like a USDA documentary. History of our beef.
The history of our beef. Oh my gosh. But no, like, but you're right. Frank Ocean, maybe I could see him doing some kind of like slow down, lo-fi version of the song.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, The Weeknd if he's, you know.
Oh, I could see The Weeknd. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but to me, I don't know why the Jonas Brothers stood out. I cannot explain it. I cannot explain it. I will, and I refuse to try to think that hard about it. So,
yeah.
Jonas Brothers, there it is.
We're going to sit on that. have you heard the covers of the songs? Or they're more like remakes, kind of.
I have not, because I just did not want to sully what this song... Because this song, to me, it doesn't need a parody because of the simple fact that it is already one of the most ridiculous songs to ever hit the charts, based solely on his voice and like we mentioned earlier, the concept of the song. We are celebrating a man who is going out to use women for his own devices, and I don't appreciate it. So no, I don't want to hear the cover version of it. I actually want to. There's some songs, like, I remember when Britney Spears, and I know we've talked about her way more on this podcast than I thought we were going to, but when she redid "My Prerogative" by Bobby Brown, which "My Prerogative" by this is the third time I've talked about Bobby Brown, too. What is wrong with me? But Bobby Brown, "My Prerogative," is one of those songs to me that was just like quintessential early 80s, late 80s, early 90s type song. You know, it was a big hit. No one knew what the hell prerogative meant until this song came out. And then her version was just so milquetoast, and I was so angry every time it played.
I did not know she covered that, and I'm kind of cringing imagining it.
Yeah, it's bad. It's that cringe. It is cringeworthy. It's the dinner party episode of The Office cringe. Yes. It's Scott's tots cringeworthy, man.
With the tiny ass TV. That's a great episode.
It really is. Oh my gosh. Man.
Yeah, there's a couple versions of this, and I listened to them all today. They're all, and most of them feature Mark Morrison in the covers. Bring him back. And they're not good. French Montana does a version. It's horrible. There's a Swedish DJ version. It's better. It's dancey, but it's not the same. You got to have the voice. You got to have the everything.
Too distinct, man. It is just too distinct to Mac Morrison.
Yeah. And we talked about where he is today, which is not much. He only made two albums, and that was about it. I think the last one was in like 2006.
Yeah. I mean, he did a couple extended play albums according to Wikipedia, which I think extended play albums are basically just the songs doubled up or something. I don't really know.
Yeah, he does a lot of remixes of
his own work,
his own songs.
Well, that was a big thing in the 90s, though, where you do a remix album, like right after your album hits, like you do a remix album for some reason. Like it's a way for, it was a way for record labels to kind of pad between one album to the next, because a group would make an album or an artist would make an album, the album would become a hit, so they got to go tour. Well, if their tour is lasting 6 to 12 month tour or something like that around the United States or worldwide, they kind of have to have something happen between that time. So what they'll do is they'll bring in additional producers to do one full ass remix album. That way there's an album between that first album and the next album. So it's not even like an official album. It's like a, just like a special edition, but it's the same songs from the first album with maybe two originals, but it's a remix, and you bring on like guest appearances and guest artists to come in and be on the album as well, just to kind of give it a little bit more push. And that's a way to keep things flowing, between that time period. Cause in the saturated music business, especially the saturated music business of the 90s, too, where things were just everything seemed to be expanding on television and media in general. Like, if you're off the air for 5 minutes, man, you've lost. So you got to kind of keep making work. And I think that's what was happening back then. So Mac Morrison probably had a good idea, but the execution was bad. Oh, but one more thing about Mac Morrison, when you say like what he's doing now, apparently he was trying to run for the mayor of Leicester?
Yeah, I couldn't pronounce it either. Leicester. Yeah. Somewhere in the UK. Yeah.
Yeah, he wanted to run for mayor. So Mayor Morrison.
And that was recent. That was like in October of this last year. So he might actually be out there running. I don't know what their election cycle looks like. But yeah, he could be the mayor of your town.
Yeah, and according to him, he says he would win easy. So
didn't see that quote.
his direct quote from the article was, "If I run against him, I win easy."
No platform. He just wants to win.
he said he's tried to play me, but he can't play me. He had me run around the city looking for buildings. I looked at places mainly in Gamby Street and found a few buildings in the cultural quarter. The building should be in cultural quarter. I'm part of this culture. That's his quote.
Wait, that's a quote?
That's a quote.
Is this a bit?
No.
I thought you were like riffing still.
No, this is an actual quote from him from this article.
Oh no.
He apparently was criticizing him for he was trying to work with him on an art project, and he screwed him over and said he sent me all over. He tried to play me. So now he says he'd win. So Mac Morrison does have an Instagram, and I'm just about to check it out. Wow. This guy is interesting, man. I got him. He's a bodybuilder now, looks like, too. So
I'm going to pull it up right now, too. Mark. I almost typed in Mac Morrison. More.
It's called Mark Morrison Official. He has a blue check. He's real. Yeah.
18,000 followers.
He's real. He's only following two people. That's how you know he's legit.
Ooh, I want to see who these two people are. Mac Life Records and Scott Shepherd. who is the owner of Mac Life Records.
All right. Oh, that's all he cares about. He's also the founder of Mac Life Records.
Morrison
is. So everything he does is Mac, but his name is Mark. Mark, this does not make sense, bro. Just change your damn name to Mac. It's not that hard. Everyone already thinks your name is Mac. Change it to Mac. Oh, wow.
He is jacked. Wow.
Yeah, I won't fuck with him.
No. I feel like I should stop making fun of him.
Yeah, let me go ahead and just compliment him like for the next... Can we add 20 more minutes to this podcast so I can spend time complimenting?
That way he skips to the end.
Yes, so I don't get my ass whooped by
Mac Morrison.
Apparently he has a song out with 1 million streams called Trippin' On Me with David Zoe. I'm not making this up. It is not a bit. If you scroll down his Instagram, it says David Zoe and Mac Morrison tripping on me. 1 million streams. 2020.
Oh, yeah. I do see that.
Maybe he did return.
Wait. Oh, no. Mark is his real name. I'm like, wait, but it's Mac again. I'm getting myself confused.
Return of the Mac.
This must be on his record label. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the interesting part about when you talk about like one hit wonders, though. Like, sometimes these artists will be big elsewhere. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, like you will have an artist that, like, for example, since I told you I was a boy band aficionado, the group Take That out of the UK, they're a boy band. They had one hit in America called Want You Back. It's called Back for Good. Sorry. Back for Good. And it was a hit here in the United States, but they didn't have a single hit in the United States before or after that. But like you go to the UK, because Robbie Williams was in that group, but you go to the UK and Take That is one of the biggest boy bands. They're the Backstreet Boys of the UK, and they're like massively successful. And it's amazing because in America, they all flew here together in America, with the exception of Robbie Williams, maybe. No one would know who the hell they are. But then they go to the UK and they would get mobbed.
There's comedians like that where it's like random friends of mine are like super popular in like Chile. So they'll do like Chile dates every now and then. But like they found their stuff online somehow and they're just like wildly popular in South America.
That's like one comedian that he's gained popularity here, but when I first saw him, they said that he was like the highest grossing comedian, touring comedian, one of the highest grossing touring comedians of that year or something like that. And I had never heard of the guy. But now other comedians, of course, have, but I follow comedians, but I've never heard of the dude. And apparently he was one of the highest grossing touring comedians of the last couple years at that point. And I was like, where did he come from? But because he was the highest tour comedian in Canada and outside of the Middle Eastern type areas, that's why I didn't recognize him, because he wasn't that big in the U.S. But they were trying to move him into the U.S. to make him. I wish I could find his name.
I'm blanking on the Chile comedian, too. But there's certain pockets like that where you can be a huge success in one country and nobody's heard of you.
Yeah, because I mean that even happened to, again, back to a boy band, that even happened to the Backstreet Boys. Like their album was released overseas first, so while they were selling out concerts overseas, they come to America and they're nothing, literally nothing. They would get no attention, no love. They're flying on regular airplanes when they were huge. Their first album was already like killing it on the radio out there. So it's just a weird thing how disconnected like we are, because again, Mac Morrison is actually like got some hits, but not here in the States.
That's wild. Yeah, because I guess he doesn't have as much attention. That's wild.
Well, you know, the comedian I was thinking about was Russell Peters.
The name rings a bell, but I don't think that. Yeah, but same thing. I don't think I know. And there's a lot of like touring, like road dogs that I don't know, mostly because they're on the road and I'm stuck here.
Exactly.
Not stuck. I love LA. I love LA. But I'm here.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if you look at Mac Morrison, too, like, his success overseas, it's just different. It's just not, you know, he's got other number one or top hits in the UK and New Zealand and places like that, but not here. We don't care about him here, except for Return of the Mac.
I do want to point out one more thing before we jump into the trivia part. The song that you pointed out that has a million views is a song with David Zowie, which is one letter off from being David Bowie.
I saw that and I'm like, maybe they misspelled it.
That can't be not intentional. Like, that's pretty spot on.
I wonder if he's like one of those like DJs, you know what I mean? That's just like a DJ producer type dude. And he just took that as a stage name. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably something like that.
He'll be on the next One Hit Wonder episode. Maybe he'll have a hit soon. But yeah, like Mac Morrison, for example, like I think he had like a number 18 hit in like Australia after Return of the Mac. And he's got a couple songs that's like charted off and on in like New Zealand and places like Sweden. It's crazy. But in the UK, he's super popular. Like his next song after Return of the Mac was number 6 in the UK. His next song after that was number 8. His next song, Horny. The song Horny was number 5. Was number 5 on the charts in the UK. And Moan and Groan was number 7 in the UK. So that whole
album's
a hit. It's a hit.
Wow.
Oh my god.
And that's why I can't make like one hit wonder rules, because it's so wild. You could say, well, it's a one hit here and not there, or it's got to be a hit everywhere. And so I'm just like, hey, you guys figure it out.
Look. Stop trying to protect John Hiss. He screwed up by saying the Smash Mouth was a one hit wonder. Don't protect him. You're going to
get jacked like Mark Morrison.
Yeah, I'm going to get my ass whipped by Mark Morrison. I'm going to have a lifelong beef with John Hiss. So here we are. Thanks, Ian.
You're welcome.
I blame you for this platform to make me make an ass out of myself with Mark Morrison. But I do need you to spread the word that I have an official beef with John Hiss. Just spread the word.
I will tag him in the episode as well.
It is official.
I love this.
Oh my gosh.
I did write some trivia questions. We did one of them already, which was the mayor one, because you did research. I'm curious if you know these other ones. Some of these are harder.
Bring it.
Yeah. So the first question, what politician used Return of the Mac as their campaign anthem in 2020?
Oh, God.
Was Bernie Sanders, Andrew Yang, or Michael Bloomberg?
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think of who that would match with.
Honestly, neither, and none of them.
I want to... I'm going to say Bernie.
I would hope that it would be Bernie. It's Andrew Yang, which I get it.
He's younger, trying to be cool. Okay, I got it.
Yeah. Next question. In 1998, he tried changing his name to what? Was it Abdul Rahman, Lenny Palmer, or Slim Shady?
Well, Lenny Palmer sounds like he's trying to maybe like get out of like, you know, like he's got some warrants and he's trying to shake his identity. But I'm going to go with, what was the first one again?
Abdul Rahman.
I'm going to go with that because it feels like when I look at his face that he would go in that direction.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I think it was one of the times he was in jail. He was trying to convert to Islam to get out and change his name to Abdul Rahman.
Wow.
Next question was the one about the office, or not the office, running for office. Here's another one. Burger King superimposed the music video in 2017 for a commercial for what new product? Was it the Big Mac burrito, the mac and Cheetos, or the macaroni and cheese shake?
I think it was the mac and Cheetos.
That is correct.
I remember that now that when she brought it up, I was like, I remember that stupid commercial.
I completely forgot about it until I saw this commercial. It's basically a Cheeto with mac and cheese inside.
Yep, I remember it now. I didn't eat it, but I remember it.
I didn't eat it. What I did have, it was weird. What was it? It was the Cheez-It pizza.
Ooh.
Where it was basically a giant Cheez-It, but I guess like a Hot Pocket, now that I think about it.
I think the most ridiculous thing I had was a Double Down. I think it was KFC came out with a breadless chicken sandwich, but the chicken was two pieces of chicken with like
the buns.
Bacon. Yeah, the chicken was the bun. I remember that. I remember having the worst.
I remember hearing about that.
I just remember having the worst chest pain I've ever had in my life.
I would try it. I'm not even a big meat eater, and I would try it.
Yeah. Like, I kind of had to try it. Like, there was really no negotiation with that. I was like, you got to do it, bro. So I did it.
I got one last question. In Return of the Mac, how many times does he say Return of the Mac?
Oh, shit, dude.
Is it 19, 12, or 69?
Wow, 69 feels too on the nose.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say 19.
Yeah, it is 19 okay. times.
All right.
This is a fuck ton of times. It feels like more.
It feels like more than 19. Hearing 19 actually feels low. I demand a recount. John Hess, recount this. Recount us, John Hess. It's your new job on this podcast.
I'm going to text him as soon as this episode's over.
You got beef, homie. It's on.
I think you got like 4 out of 5 of these right.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Mr. Bernie Sanders, Andrew Yang question.
Which is honestly weird. I don't feel, they could pick any song and they pick this.
Yeah. But there was a baseball player that played for the Texas Rangers when I was a kid, and that was my favorite baseball team. His name is Mark. Oh God, now I forgot his name. it was Mac Meyer? Though. It was Mac something. It was Mac something. But they always play "Return of the Mac" when he came to the plate.
This is a good like sports song.
Yeah, Mark McLemore. That was his name, Mark McLemore, and they would play "Return of the Mac" whenever he came to the plate. So. I remember that. Return of the Mac. Every time he came to the plate. Oh, boy.
On that note, we'll head into second final break. Then we'll come back and do even more bits.
Once again.
I'm going to fade out on that. And welcome back to Wonders, a one-hit wonder podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I do.
Return of the podcast.
Once again.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Here I am. I'm sorry, I'm done. I have to keep looking at pictures of John Hess to calm me down because it makes me focus because I have an enemy in front of me.
I like this. I think the world would be more peaceful if we all had one enemy.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of let off my... I was like, let me go into the next year and let me release my enemies. You know what I'm saying? I want to release my enemies. I want to let them go and leave it alone. And then John Hess... came into my life. Now I've gone backwards, and now I don't like. I don't like all of my old enemies, and now I have this new enemy that I must destroy. And like a, but not in like a. I want him to like leave the earth type of way. I mean, I just have. I want to hear him on your podcast come on and say, guys, I 86 minutes. Of wrong, because Smash Mouth is not, and nor have they ever been, a one-hit wonder. And I apologize to Steve Harwell and every other member of Smash Mouth, past, present, and future, for my malfeasance. But most importantly, and this is, I want him to do this verbatim. I won't accept it unless it's every word I'm saying. Most importantly, I would like to apologize to Brick Jackson, who has 5 Smash Mouth songs on his playlist on Spotify, clearly indicating that Smash Mouth is not a one-hit wonder. And I deeply, deeply apologize. And for the next 6 months, I will move to Argentina to think about what I've done. And when I return, I will be a better man. Thank you. That's what I want to hear him say all of that. If you need to rewind and write this down, John Hess, you can. But that's the next words I want to hear out of John Hess's mouth is that apology.
I also love how you know Steve Harwell's name offhand. Nobody knows his name. I know his name, but I shouldn't.
See, because Smash Mouth is not a one-hit wonder. I don't remember. I don't remember the lead singer of the New Radicals.
No.
Some bald guy on the elevator. I don't remember his name, but I do remember Smash Mouth because they weren't One Hit Wonders.
And also you were in a sketch with me where I played Steve Harwell. But
was I? I don't remember, dude. I don't remember.
Probably.
I don't remember things.
Speaking of not remembering things, hey, great at the transitions. we're going to hop into a little improvised segment based on anything tangible that we talked about. Is there anything you want to do a scene about?
It's up to you, bro. I'll go with the flows.
God, I'm trying to remember. What are some things that we talked about? There's him working at the cafeteria of a Make-A-Wish.
Okay, let's do that.
You didn't want to do that? All right.
Cafeteria of a hospital where they do Make-A-Wish stuff. We can do that.
All right. I got the COVID. I got the Rona.
Oh no.
Wait, I know that voice. Do that again.
What again?
That voice. It reminds me of my dad's favorite song.
It is me. It is me.
No way.
That's right, son. I am
Mac Morrison.
That's right, son. I'm Mac Morrison of Mac Morrison Return of the Mac fame.
Wait, my dad is Mac Morrison.
Yes. Did your mother not tell you? This is awkward.
I knew you looked for so much like him, but honestly, it was the haircut that I didn't recognize you because you're bald now.
I gave up the gun. Back in 99.
You got rid of the Gumby.
Got rid of the Gumby in 99, son. I'm just finally happy that I can be here at your bedside. I found out you were here upstairs because I work in the cafeteria downstairs.
What do you do down there?
I make the food. I'm a chef now.
You're a chef?
I gave up the singing life, but not the crime life. But I gave up the singing life, and now I make pastries for the people of the hospital.
You make pastries for the orphans? Oh, wait, we're not orphans. Yep, we're orphans.
You might be an orphan because I haven't been in your life. Your other father.
God, you got so much louder just now. You're practically in my ear.
I'm sorry, son. One of my eardrums blew out in 1999 concert, and now my volume levels are unmanageable. Sorry.
You smell like blueberry muffins.
Well, that's today's special. I brought you one. Here.
Thank you.
Once again? Oh, wait, I hear sirens. I gotta go. I've got 12 warrants.
Can you tell me what those 12 crimes are before you leave?
Sure. Arson.
One.
Animal cruelty.
Two.
Kidnapping.
Oh, they're getting closer.
They're getting closer.
What is going on outside?
They're coming for me, son. I don't have much more time.
Sorry, two.
Car theft. Kidnapping.
Four. Wait, am I the kid?
Identity theft.
Four? Are you really Mark Morrison?
I am.
Okay.
Just have to remind you who I am sometimes by going singing random notes of, I do. I do.
Oh,
do
that makes
do.
Me feel. Oh, that's so good.
Yes, but just so you know, I'm about to go spend the next 8.5 years of my life. Probably not in prison because somehow they keep letting me out. But no matter what crimes I do, somehow I'm going to be out. But I promise you, son, I'll be back. You'll get Mac back. It'll be the return of the Mac.
Oh, nope. That's not what I thought you were going to do. Return of the Mac.
Yes. It'll be the return of the return of the Mac. I'll see you when you're 18, son. Ooh,
bye.
I love you. I love you.
Bye. And scene. What the fuck is going on outside? You could hear that on your end?
Yes, those sirens were perfect, bro.
I'm in Los Feliz. It's like quiet. And then all of a sudden, so many emergency vehicles went by. That's crazy.
And then it got louder and louder.
They like drove right by my window. That's crazy.
It was perfect.
Perfectly timed.
Like if you say Mac Morris's name three times, the cops appear.
Like Beetlejuice. He's a Beetlejuice of R&B. And
I'm dying.
Before I completely faint from laughing too much, is there anything you want to plug?
Yes. I want to plug Mac Morris's new album. Return of the Mac.
Great with the titles.
Available now at Tower Records.
Oh no. Did nobody tell him?
No, he didn't know. There's going to be 17 boxes sitting in front of an old Tower record. Oh, God. Okay. In all seriousness. Dude, I can't do
this. I swear I'm doing this podcast completely sober right now.
Me too. Okay, I do have to plug one thing. Check out my podcast. It's called Ethnic Kiss, the Black Sitcom Podcast Show. It's available on Spotify. You can listen to it, enjoy it, give us your feedback. We have an Instagram, Ethnic Kiss Pod, or you can go to our type in Ethnic Kiss Podcast on Facebook and get to our page. And you know, we'd love to hear from you. Anybody who's interested in weird analysis of obscure 1990s black sitcoms, we're the place for you. So I'm dying. That was the hardest thing I've ever had to get through.
I was gonna say you got it towards the end there.
Oh my gosh.
What do I plug? I plug Kleenex because I need a lot of that right now. Ian Zandy on all the socials. Wonders Pod on Instagram.
Oh my gosh.
What else? Oh, right. Review and rate this podcast on iTunes. I think that does something.
Something happens.
I think it makes more people listen. Yeah. And I would love it if Mac Morrison listens to this.
I actually want him to be angry. But I don't want him to, but don't come to America. Just be angry from the UK.
Oh, trust me. Nobody wants to come here right now. We're good.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, Mac Morrison. He's going to haunt my dreams. I feel it. Oh, gosh.
Thank you for listening to our laughs, everyone.
I'm gonna have to watch something dramatic to get the laugh. Like I'm exhausted. I'm done laughing. I gotta watch something that's not gonna make me laugh for the rest of the night. It's hilarious. Oh my god.
And good night.
Wait.
Do the.
Sorry.
What was it?
Pew 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 pew.
There we go. That's it.
Pew 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 pew. Beep, beep, beep. Oh, yeah, Instagram, follow me, The Brick Jackson. Sorry, I should have said that. I was
too right under the wire before I stop. Stop record. Beep, beep, beep.